In my
opinion,
if this church were in a metropolitan area, it'd be run 1,000 people. It really would. Because you have got the pastor that preaches the word. And that is so important. And so I encourage you to get behind him, stand behind him, lift him up, and be part of the body of Christ that you are supposed to be. Churches across America need revival as never before. After saying that this church is one of the best, at the best, we're a mess. Okay? At the best, we are a mess. And you take the churches as a whole all over America, at the best, they are a mess. And you know, you can't correct something if you don't see something that's wrong. You have to be able to see what's wrong in order to correct it and go in the right direction. Of course, the Apostle Paul was very, very much into all of that. In Romans chapter 7, we have three enemies, as you all know. We have the world, the flesh, and the devil. And these three enemies are working overtime to destroy you and me and the rest of the whole world. The world is not our friend. Now, when I talk about the world, I'm talking about the world business, the world as it is, you know, the world out there. I'm not talking about the people. God loves the people, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But this whole world system is a mess. I heard one time, and I don't know how true this is, but it makes good sense to me. I heard that you could take all the people in the whole world and put them in a city the size of Texas. And you could farm the rest of the world, and there would be enough for everybody left over. There is no reason for any hunger or strife in this world. So we have the world, and then we have the flesh. And the flesh fights us tooth and toenail, coming and going, up one side and down the other. And then we have the devil as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. In Romans chapter 7, we're going to start with verse 12, maybe verse 11. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. This is the Apostle Paul talking. Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death for me? Question mark. God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me, that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For this we know, that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Let's pray and then we'll continue on there. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you will bless this message. Help us today. Lord, we need your help. We know this like never before. America's in trouble. America needs revival. And Lord, I pray that you would bring revival to Blessed Hope Baptist Church and to our nation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul said that the law is spiritual, the law is right, but I am carnal and sold under sin. Now, the Apostle Paul had this prayer, that I may know him. It's amazing that the Apostle Paul probably knew the Lord better than anybody in the whole world. Yet his prayer was that I may know him. And that should be our prayer. That should be your prayer and my prayer and the prayer of every Christian in the whole country, that I may know him. Another place, the Apostle Paul said he wanted to win Christ. Did he have to win Christ? He was trying to win Christ every day. And, you know, you and I ought to be winning our wives, our husbands, our children, our friends, our neighbors. We ought to be trying to win them every day, that I may know him and that I may win Christ. Paul wanted to win Christ. He'd already won, hadn't he? But yet he wanted to be a bigger winner and a better winner than what he was. Paul went on to say, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not, but what I hate, that I do." Now, isn't that amazing? The things that I would do, I don't do, and the things that I don't do, I need to do. I've got a problem. I'm a mess. Let me hear you say that. I'm a mess. You said that right. I can tell by looking at you. Verse 16 says, "If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." So I've got a constant battle going on in my life, just like you have, just like everybody else has. There is a constant battle. Because you see, when you got saved, you received a new nature. But you didn't get rid of the old nature. It's still there. So as a result of that, we've got a problem. We've got a sin problem. And we need to be working on that every day. I have been, the last few years, praying that I would be totally surrendered to God. You say, haven't you always been surrendered? No, and you haven't either. Right? I mean, it's a hard thing to surrender. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm not going to let somebody else tell me what to do. I'm not going to surrender. But the truth is, every one of us should surrender. You know, the Bible talks about lifting up holy hands. Somebody sticks a gun in your face. I surrender. And it's not all of this, you know, jumping around all over the place. It's I give up. I give up. I surrender. I surrender. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. My goodness, he's got a problem, hasn't he? Now, the Apostle Paul has got a problem. And I think he reiterates that for every one of us to see that we have got the same problem that he had. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So putting it very bluntly here this morning, you and I have a sin problem. We all have a sin problem. And in my opinion, this is one of the best churches in the whole country, as I said earlier. If this church were in a metropolitan area, I believe you'd be running 1,000 people. You have got one of the greatest preachers in the nation. You do know that, don't you? I hope you will. But you see, every one of us need to surrender. Are you surrendered? Have you surrendered? You know, we are all a part of the body of Christ. What part are you? What part of the body of Christ are you? I mean, you know, the Bible talks about the hands. I'm glad my hands are not my eyes. I'm glad I don't have four eyes and no hands. Aren't you glad you got hands? And I'm glad I've got feet, and I've got ears, and I've got a nose, and I've got a mouth. Matter of fact, I've got billions and billions and billions of cells in my body. And I cherish every one of them. Matter of fact, I stumped my toe the other day. You know what? My whole body reacted to that. Isn't that amazing? I stumped my toe and my whole body was sympathetic. That's amazing, isn't it? Well, when somebody stumps their toe here, is the whole body sympathetic? Isn't that a great point? That's a great point that every one of us should consider. If one little place in the body hurts, then the whole body needs to react to that one place. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. You know, I find out that evil attacks the mind continually. Satan, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. Isn't that amazing? No, that's not amazing. That's just an expression. But that is an amazing point, that the devil is a roaring lion and he wants to tear you to pieces. We need to be conscious of that he has no love for you whatsoever. Here's a great point. Did you know that Satan has never, ever once forgiven one sin? Now you mark that down. Satan has never, ever forgiven one sin. By the way, he'll never let you forget it either, right? He's always bringing it up. He's always throwing your face. So he has never, ever forgiven you of one sin. And yet, Jesus, on the other hand, isn't it amazing that he forgives us of all of our sins? Isn't that something? He forgives us of all of our sins. And he remembers them no more. He casts them into the depths of the sea. He casts them as far away as the east is from the west. And I'm sure you know the difference between the east and the west and the north and the south. You know, you can go north and you're going south. You can go south and you're going north. But you can go east forever. You can go west forever. They never meet. Isn't it amazing how up-to-date the Bible is? Isn't that incredible? That's incredible, isn't it? And so we need to realize that Satan never, ever forgives one sin. He never forgets one sin. He always reminds you. God forgives and God forgets and God wants us to go on, okay? I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. You know, the inward man, I always want to please God. I've always had a desire to please God as the inward man. God wants me to serve him daily. And yet, even that, I find Satan attacks all the time, continually. He never quits. He never gives up. Just like he tempted Jesus, you know, the three times. And then he went away for a season. It's amazing, isn't it? And so, God is making us into what he wants us to be. Isn't that precious? God is molding us and shaping us into what he wants us to be. This sanctification thing is something that starts when you get saved, and it never stops on this earth. As long as you're on this earth, in this body, your sanctification is continuing on and on. He's growing you. He's shaping you. He's making you into what he wants you to be. It's like Jeremiah. You know, God said to Jeremiah, why don't you go down to the potter's house? The potter's house. And you're all familiar with that story, I'm sure. So he went down to the potter's house. And he was watching that potter and that wheel. It was out of kilter. It wasn't doing right. So what does the potter do? He stops the wheel. He smashes that clay up. And he reaches in with his knife or whatever, and he digs out a rock or a clump of clay that just won't submit. And he throws it away. But he doesn't throw the clay away. He keeps the clay. He keeps that clay, and he puts that clay back on the potter's wheel, and he begins to mold it and shape it and make it into a vessel that's neat and fit for the master's use. Isn't that wonderful? That you're a piece of clay that God is molding and shaping. And you know, you can resist him. You can be a lump of clay in that old potter's wheel. But you know, it's better for you to surrender and let God have his will and his way. God is molding you and me into what he wants us to be. And when he is finished, we'll receive white robes. Now, Revelation chapter 19 and verse 6 to 8, I won't go there, but the Bible says it was granted to her that she should, well, maybe better. I can't quote it. I thought I could, but you know, this old golden years. No, don't laugh at me. Somebody's laughing at me, but these old golden years, they're not what they're cracked up to be. Revelation 19 and verses 6 to 8. And I heard as it were the voice of great multitude and the voice of many waters and the voice of mighty thunder saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted. She didn't deserve it. She didn't earn it. Okay, she didn't deserve. And it was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Now, it's an amazing thing. God grants his church to be dressed in white, white linen. And as I said before, at the best, we're a mess. At the best, we're a mess. And yet it was granted that she could be arrayed in white linen. That's amazing. Now, you know, the world can take young people and make harlots out of them. But who in all of creation could take a harlot and make a virgin out of her? Who could do that? Only Jesus. Only Jesus could do that. Isn't that amazing? We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. And we cannot buy it. It's not for sale. But God's mercy and grace, by his mercy and grace, he gives it to us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And at the best, we're a mess. But God loves this mess. I'm so glad that God loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Isn't it great that we have someone that loves us in spite of ourselves? I think that's what the Apostle Paul was trying to get over, and he was trying to show us. And, I'm going to close right there. I'm probably not as long-winded as your former pastor. I did not bring my guitar today because ever since I was sick, I haven't been playing, and I'm just not up to it. And so not up to singing much. But I do have one little song that I want to sing for you, and it's the theme for my radio program. Do we have any farmers in here? Any farmers? Who's a farmer? All right. Anybody got horses? Anybody got horses? All right, some horses, okay. And it goes like this. If a farmer is a man outstanding in his field, and horse sense is stable thinking, we could use a lot of good men outstanding in their field, and a whole lot more stable thinking. Stable thinking, stable thinking. Oh, America was born on stable thinking. Stable thinking, stable thinking. Oh, America was born on stable thinking. We're going to have an invitation right now. And then I want to come back and talk to you just a little bit more about our music back there. But let's all stand as we have our invitation. The piano player, she'll just maybe start playing. You know, let me ask you this question. Are you a mess? And question number two, have you surrendered? Are you surrendered? Will you come? Will you come to this altar this morning and ask the Lord to help you? Just come right on.